employees in over 300 facilities around the globe. Alcoa has a reputation for responsible stewardship and exceptional ethics. Still, every company encounters ethical challenges. From unreported safety infractions to demands for bribes, I had dozens of opportunities to respond in ethical or not ethical ways. Over time, I learned to handle ethical dilemmas not only with integrity, but also with confidence. Some of my colleagues did not have the same happy ending. I saw capable people felled by ethical missteps, often split-second decisions that ruined their reputations and damaged our company brand. These were my friends, fundamentally good people who wanted to do the right thing but buckled under the weight of difficult trade-offs. We learned together that ethical decision-making skills are every bit as critical to organizations as strong management and leadership skills. The purpose of this field guide is to help you make solid decisions when you have to choose among competing values and the path forward is hard to see. Like a seasoned wilderness expert, this book will assist you in finding your way and in mastering the skills that will allow you and your organization to thrive. Fortunately for me, by the time I faced the Texas environmental incident, I had learned from some incredible guides, including, among others, my father, Bill O'Rourke Sr., and the values-driven chairman and CEO of Alcoa, Paul O'Neill. Dad was a high school teacher and coach who also directed the recreation department of our small town. He loved all sports, especially golf, although raising six kids on a teacher's salary meant he golfed infrequently and with ancient clubs. As part of his job, Dad regularly purchased equipment from the local sporting goods store. One Saturday morning, the owner of that store pulled into our driveway where I was washing the family car. He placed a new set of golf clubs in the garage. "Tell your dad that's for him," he said, then he drove away. When my dad appeared, I was delighted to show him the new clubs in their handsome bag. But he quickly put them in the trunk of our car and said, "Come with me." We drove to the sporting goods store. Dad walked in with the clubs, set them on a counter, and told the owner, "I didn't pay for these." Dad never talked about the incident during our drive to or from the store. He didn't need to. His actions spoke volumes about the man he was. When I graduated from high school, Dad gave me a small, handmade plaque. On it, he wrote, "I don't have much to give you, but I give you my good name. I give it to you untarnished and ask you to keep it that way." So when the engineer called that Wednesday afternoon, I was already trying to follow the path set by my dad, as well as my own goals for being an ethical leader. I didn't just want to stay out of trouble. I wanted to do the best I could with the resources I had. It helped that my goals aligned well with the approach of our CEO, Paul O'Neill. When it came to ethical decisions, his direction was always, "Do the right thing. We'll sort out liability later." Our vision statement at the time read, "We aspire to be the best company in the world." Within hours, I gathered my team. We agreed that any decent company would disclose this information right away. That choice, though it might be costly, was easy to make. But what should we do for the affected families? Several team members felt we didn't need to do anything to clean up this community problem. Chances are the trichloroethylene was not even our fault. Our ethical duty was simply to disclose. Then someone asked what the best company in the world would do. The feeling in the room immediately changed. Together, we decided on a plan. Starting at 8 a.m. the following day, our company engineers went to all the homes in the city to disclose what we had found. Another contingent brought the news to the Texas government officials. We delivered drinking water to the residents and offered to replenish it over the next few weeks while we installed filters to keep the carcinogen out of their wells at a cost of $1 million. We would do what we could to help the residents, whether the TCE came from our plant or not. Despite our best efforts, there was litigation, costly litigation. A lawyer from California came to town and recruited each family for a class action lawsuit. Every family signed up. But I never had to take the witness stand or sit for a deposition because it was clear to all parties that